And if you want a blessing, we'll do our best on the song. We practice it. But one of the blessings about this song I remember is Dr. Curtis Hudson, when he was at the end of his life with cancer, was in a large church, I think, in somewhere in North Carolina, big crowd, and he decided he wanted to sing this song. And he was really emancipated with cancer, just about gone. I think he died 2 weeks after it was recorded. But he sang this song, "I'm on the Winning Side." Even though he knew he was just days away from his own death, he sung, "I'm on the Winning Side." So this is what that song is about. We like this song too. One side drifted out in sin, had no hope, no joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. Then my Savior came along, and he showed me I was wrong. Now I know I'm on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. From the straight and narrow way, I was drifting every day, out upon the waters deep and wide. But it's all over now, glory light is on my brow, and my soul is on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side, yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. I will never, ever fear, for my Lord is ever near, and in Him so often I confide. He's the keeper of my soul, since I gave Him full control, and He placed me on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side, yes, I'm on the winning side. Sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning
side. Is going to come and he's going to read for us this morning, Joshua chapter 1. And I started last week. I couldn't quite come up with a title for the message last week, but just gave you what God gave on my heart. And this week God gave me a title for that message and this message. And I've been waiting for a good time to do this. And I kept waiting, and God said, "Okay, time to stop waiting." But we're going to deal with it more next week as well. But the title of the message for last week and this week, this is just part two, is "What You Do When the Honeymoon's Over." And so Brother Cleo's going to come up and he's going to read to us Joshua chapter 1.
Good morning, friends and family. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto the people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper with it with ever so as thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribes of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan, toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage.
All righty, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer this morning, and Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to meet in your house. Lord, I thank you for each and every person who have come out today. Lord, I pray that you would bless them for it. Lord, I know that there's a number of people that are home this morning because they are sick, and Lord, or had a surgical procedure, Lord, that's requiring them to stay at home. Lord, I just pray that you would be with them. Lord, I pray that you touch their hearts and their lives, and Lord, you'd encourage them and help them to heal and bring them back to us real soon. And now, Father, I pray that you would be with me this morning. Lord, I pray that you would give me the clarity of thought. Lord, I pray that you would help me to give the words that you would have your people hear this morning. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to grow together and serve together. And Lord, we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, every relationship has a time when the honeymoon's over. And those of you who have been married, those of you who are married, understand what I'm talking about. You know, it's you know when the guy stops giving his wife roses, and you know the wife stops babying the husband, and you get down to reality. You know, you know, where before the bad breath in the morning didn't bother you, but now it does. and chewing, where it's really quiet in the house and you're chewing and you can hear your mate chew, and it never bothered you before, and you used to think it was kind of cute, that little bit of noise, but now please chew with your mouth closed, be quiet. Every relationship goes through these situations. You know, folks, it's no different at church. And I've been praying about this for a couple of months now. And in our church, I really believe that we are to a point in our church right now where the honeymoon's over. You say, well, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, what I mean by is you all are stuck with me. I'm stuck with you. And, and you say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, I've heard some folks talk. I've even had some folks come to me and say, well, I don't like this, or I don't like that. And again, before, it didn't matter what I said, didn't matter what I did, most people were excited about it. But now, it's getting, I don't know about this, or I don't know about that. What do you do when you get to that point? In today's world, what happens to most married couples when that happens? They split up. They separate, and they divorce. You know what happens to most churches around America about right now? The pastor starts looking for a U-Haul and starts pricing them, and he starts looking around to see where he might go. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, I'm not looking around. I'm not renting a U-Haul. As far as I'm concerned, and until God removes me, I'm here. Amen. And I'm not going anywhere. And so now... And you say, well, I'm not going anywhere either. This is my church, and praise God, I hope you don't. But what do we do? How do we get past this slump? How do we get through this time where the relationship comes together and where we can get things accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, last week we started and we talked about it, and we talked about the Word of God and you being in the Word of God. And I hope that you heard the message last week. And I pray that you spent last week more time in your Bible than you've ever spent before. Because you know what that's going to do? That's going to unite us, because we're going to be literally on the same page. And that's where a husband and wife needs to be. That's where a pastor and a church needs to be. They need to be on the same page. And the only way that we're going to be on the same page, the only way that we're going to be united, is if we're both looking into the same book and heading in the same direction, where what we want is what God wants. And so I want to kind of use the Joshua here, and I hope you get a pen out, because if I go to each place in the scripture and I read all of these scriptures, we'll run out of time long before I get to the end of the message. So I want to encourage you to write some things down. I want to give you some homework. I want you to go home and I want you to study some things. I want you to look at some things, because again, what's really important is that we're on the same page. So what do you do when the honeymoon's over? All right, now are y'all listening? I'm going to be real straight here, and I'm going to be real direct. All right, I even wrote it down, so I made sure that I said it the way that I wanted to say it. And so what do you do when the honeymoon's over? You get off your royal butts and follow the plan God gave and the man God gave to lead. Do I need to repeat that? I'll repeat it again. Get off your royal butts, and that's B-U-T-T-S, and follow the plan God gave and the man God gave to lead his people. You say, well, preacher, you use that word, you probably ought to use behind. Well, you can use behind or whatever, but see, I wanted to get a point across. In order to get past this situation, in order to get past this time, what it's going to do is it's going to cause each and every one of us to get up, to move, and to head in the direction that we're supposed to go. You see, the plans have not changed. The direction for the church has not changed. Since the founding of the church in the beginning, it has not changed. The goal and the direction of the church is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our job, our responsibility is to make sure that we take the gospel, to take the gospel and make sure that each door in Hebron and in the surrounding area gets the gospel, that we knock on each door and they know that we're here and that we give them the gospel. You see, that's never changed. But you see, what happens is as we tool along and as we kind of get used to each other and we kind of get used to the way each other thinks, we start getting and dividing and we start going apart. You know, what we got to do is we got to get on the same page. One of the things that we got to do here is, and we're going to go back and look at some things here, and I want you to write this down. I want you to do some studying on your own. If you'll look up Numbers chapter 13, and if you'll read the whole chapter, but especially pay close attention to verses 18 through 33. And what we have in this portion of Scripture is we have, and my first point here is we need to make sure that we don't make the same mistakes that the others before us made. You see, what would happen in Numbers chapter 13 is the children of Israel had left. God had greatly delivered them from Jerusalem, or from Egypt. God had delivered them from Egypt. And they went into the wilderness, and God said, okay, it's time for you to cross the Jordan, and it's time for you to go over there and possess the land which I have given you. But you see, the children of Israel, even though they saw all of the wonderful, marvelous things that took place in Egypt, they were stiff-necked. They were stubborn, and they were a rebellious people. So Moses, he got him 10 spies. We all remember this very well. And he sent them all over the promised land there, all over to look and to spy it out and to figure out where they should go and how strong it was and what was over there. We know that 10 of those spies come back. And you know what they saw? They saw the rivers flowing with milk and honey. They saw the grapes, and the Bible even tells us that it took two men. Think about this. It took two men to put one cluster of grapes and carry it over. They brought more grapes back with one cluster than two men could eat by themselves. And they witnessed and they saw everything. But you know what the 10 spies also saw? They saw the walls. They saw giants. And they all looked at that, and 10 of those spies come back and said, no, we can't do it. It's just impossible for us to go any further than where we are. It's impossible for us to proceed further where God wants us to be, because the giants are too big and the walls are too tall and the gates are closed up and they're sealed tight and we are defenseless against it. You know what, folks? If we're not careful, we'll let circumstance and we'll let what we can see of the enemy scare us away. We'll be like those 10 spies. You know, we live in a time right now in our world where if you pay attention to the news, and unfortunately, we got a lot of church people. We got some church people that are paying more attention to the news than they are the Word of God. You know why? Because they're not here this morning. We're spending all this time running from COVID. You know, we got a president that promised that what he was going to do is he was going to eradicate this. He was going to get rid of it. Well, even him has admitted that he can't do it. But you know what we're doing? We're hiding behind an illness and a sickness. Now, again, if you've got COVID and you're at home, praise God, I'm glad you're there. But if you've just got sniffles and you decided that, hey, it's possible that we might get a snowstorm and you didn't come, well, shame on you. Shame on you, because you should have come. You should be here. And see, what we do is we look at what's going on in the world, and you know, if we're not careful, what's going to bother us is what's brewing over in Russia. We're gonna focus on that, and we're gonna worry about it too much. You know, we're probably gonna wind up going to war, but you know what? That has nothing to do with the assignment that God has given us. You know, we look at the inflation and we might think, well, you know, hey, inflation's coming. So, you know, hey, pastor, things that we need to do as a church moving ahead, we maybe ought not do because we don't want to get ourselves into a spot that we can't afford. Now, I believe there's a fine line between faith and foolishness. But if we hold back on God and we don't move forward because we're worried about the finances, you know what? We're in big, serious trouble. What we need to do is we need to trust God. You see, the 10 spies, they saw the grapes. They saw all that God's provision and how God was going to take care of them. But they allowed circumstances to prevent them from moving forward. You know what? We need to make sure that we don't make the same mistake that others went before us have made. What we need to do is we need to be more like Joshua and Caleb, the other two spies. You know, they saw the grapes. They saw the rivers flowing with milk and honey. They saw the tall walls. They saw the giants. They saw it all. But you know what? They came back and they said, based upon what we know about them and what we know about God, we got this taken care of. We don't have to worry about it. You know, you see, when they saw the grapes that took two men to carry, you know what they saw? They saw provision. They saw that God was in control and God was going to take care of everything that they needed in order to accomplish the battle, in order to accomplish the conquering of the promised land. We need to be like Caleb. You know, Caleb, when they come back and they got to carrying on and they got to talking, Caleb, he saw the provision. He saw the provision that God had provided for the victory. He saw God's power. And in verse number 30 of Numbers chapter 13, when all of the people were carrying on and they were all worried about it, Caleb stood up and the Bible says he stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." You know what I can tell you? No matter what takes place this year, I can promise you we are able to overcome it, not based upon who we are, but based upon who we serve and who God is. And if we're not careful, we're going to allow circumstances to rob us from what God has for us. We're going to allow circumstances to keep us from going forward. And we need to make sure that that don't happen. You know, Joshua, when I think about Joshua in Numbers chapter 14, and if you'll read verses 1 through 11, you know, Joshua, Joshua had a history of following God's man and knowing what God was capable of because of past victories that he had fought in God's enemy. You see, while the children of Israel were on the side of Jordan, Joshua was sent out to fight battles. He knew what God was capable of. He knew that God was going to deliver. He knew that God was going to take care of things. And you know what? Joshua was understood. He understood that it was his responsibility and it was his objective to follow the leader. And I want to encourage you folks this year, follow the leader. Follow the leader. That is so very important. You say, well, you know, preacher, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about yourself. Yes, I am. God is the head of the church. I am the under-shepherd. And you know how God's going to direct this church? Through me. You say, well, I don't know that I agree about that. I don't know that I like that. Well, it doesn't matter whether you agree or whether you like it. The direction God has for this church, you know who he's going to tell first? You're looking at him. And you know what I'm going to do about it? What I've been doing. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get on my face before God. You see, what I told you last week is I was looking for direction. And so I get up in the morning and I pray and I read my Bible and I ask God, show me, Lord, what direction? What is it? What is it that Faith Independent Baptist Church needs? And I go to the book and I look and I ask God to show me and reveal it. You know, God has shown me some things. God has revealed some things to me and that is crucial for our church. But you know what I need? I need some people like Joshua and Caleb that'll be willing to follow. Willing to say, okay, Pastor, what we're going to do is we're going to lift you up. We're going to pray for you. And we're going to get behind you. And we're going to follow and we're going to go. We're going to do it. We may not understand it. It may not even be our cup of tea. But if it's what God wants us to do, that's what we're going to do. And you see, that Joshua was famous for doing that. Joshua was known before Joshua ever became a spy and went over into the promised land. Joshua was very busy at following Moses and doing what Moses had told him to do. And Caleb and Joshua in Numbers chapter 14 and verses number 8 and 9, it says, Caleb and Joshua, they said, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us unto the land and give it us, and the land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Now listen to this. For they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You know what the opinion of Joshua and Caleb was 40 years prior? Is what you're looking at, and they told the other 10 spies, they told the children of Israel, what you're looking at, the tall walls, the giants, and the big gates, they're bread unto us. And they're scared of us. But you know what? If we're not real careful, what we'll do is we'll side with the 10. You know what Joshua and Caleb's responsibility was? When they crossed Jordan, the same thing it was before. And what their job was is a testimony to people and to the new generation now, after 40 years had passed, and God brought them to the same place to conquer and do the same thing. Joshua and Caleb's job was to make sure that they were a testimony and a sounding board and an encouragement to go on. Because Joshua and Caleb, as you all know, were the only other ones that got to cross the Jordan. Everyone else died in the wilderness. Everybody else that was crossing across, this was a new adventure for them. They had only heard about some of the things that God had done. But now they were going to be able to witness for the time. You know what Faith Independent Baptist Church needs? We need some Joshua and Calebs. There's some of y'all that have been around here for a long time. Even back before Brother Jones was here. You need to be a Joshua and Caleb and encourage your other brothers and sisters in Christ to follow God's plan and follow God's man. Because that's the only way that we're going to move forward. That's the only place that we're going to get to where we need to be. Let's not make the mistake that others have made in the past. Let's follow. God's brought Faith Independent Baptist Church a long way. You spend some time with Sister Carol. You spend some time with John. You spend some time with Sandy and Terry, and you listen to them talk, and Sister Dolores, about things that took place back a ways Faith Independent Baptist Church, which was known as Orchard Street, and God has brought the church a long way. Amen. God has done some great things. God has done some wonderful things, but He's not finished. He's not done. And what we need some Joshuas and Calebs to say, hey, let's not make the mistakes that were made in the past. Let's move forward. And let's proceed. Let's conquer the land that God has given to us. And Joshua and Caleb, their job never changed. Their responsibility was to fight against the enemies of God and to lead in the fight. We need Joshuas and Calebs to lead in the fight. The second thing we'll look at here this morning, you may be happy where you are on the other side of Jordan, but you still can't rest till all come to victory and rest. You know, in Numbers chapter 32, verses 20 through 33, there was the tribe of Gad, Reuben, and a half tribe of Manasseh. You know what they come to the conclusion was? Things were fine on the side of Jordan that they were on. They didn't want to cross the Jordan. They didn't want to go into the land of promise. And so they made a deal with Moses about staying on this side. Staying on that side of Jordan. But it was a conditional deal. They were granted the opportunity to stay and to possess that land, but they were still obligated to cross over until all of the children of Israel had received what God had for them. You know, there may be some of you here this morning that fit in that category. You know, wait a minute. My life is, I'm old. I don't want to move ahead. I what's on the other side of Jordan? I'm really not interested. I'll stay right where I'm at. Well, I'll make a deal with you. That's fine. We'll let you stay in the past. But you know what you need to do? You still need to cross the Jordan and help us fight on the other side. You see, because God's not done with you. It's not over. You know, I'm going to say it kindly, as kindly as I can. We have too many people that are retired. We need some folks to come out of retirement and come across the Jordan with us and help us fight until we all reach where we need to be. We've got a land to conquer. We've got doors to knock. We've got new things. You know, I've asked you all to pray about the property across the street and about the possibility of putting a gymnasium over there for the young people. And you say, well, you know, hey, I've reached my place in life. I'm old and I don't need that. You may not, and that's fine. But there's a generation coming up that does. You know, I've asked you to pray about bringing in a youth man. And some of you say, well, you know, what in the world do we need a youth guy for? Well, take a good look around you, and that'll answer that question. You say, well, you know, this youth man's not going to help me any. He'll help you more than you think. But see, if we don't move forward, and if we don't go ahead, we'll cease to exist. And see, there's some things that we need to do. And what's happening here is that there was 2.5 tribes that decided that what was better for them was to stay where they were at. And they were granted that. and praise the Lord. There's some of you, being saints of God in the pew and saints of God in the church and supportive of the pastor and that's fine. But we still need your help to train up the next generation. We still need your help. You are still required to cross over Jordan until we all reach the goal that we need to reach. So I want to encourage you folks, cross over. God gave them a conditional situation where they could stay over here, but they still had to go and fight. 9.5 tribes, they still had to go over and fight. And you know, the thing about it is, one of the reasons that Moses, when the 2.5 tribes asked that, is he said, because they didn't want to discourage them. Didn't want to discourage everybody else. You know, your inactivity causes inactivity. You're deciding that, hey, I'm not for this, and I'm not going to move, and I'm not going to participate. That discourages those who need to participate and need to go. And you say, well, now what are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is we need to get busy. There's something for everyone in our church to do. You know when God's finished with you? We'll have your funeral. Until that time, there's something here at Faith Independent Baptist Church for you to do. Everything that we're going to do moving forward may not be all for you, but we need you to help us get there. We need you to help us get there. So we need to move forward. It was conditional. Numbers chapter 32 and verses number 20 through 22. I encourage you to read that. But here it says, in verse number 20, it says, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war. And so these are the conditions that he told him. He said, okay, you can stay over here, you can possess the land over here, but what you've got to go is you've got to go over armed before the Lord to war. In verse number 21, he told him, until he hath driven out the enemies before God. So how long do you got to stay in? How long do you got to stay in until all of the enemies are driven out? And then verse number 22, it says, and the land be subdued before the Lord. Then afterward ye shall return and be before the Lord and before Israel. And so if you're going to stay behind, we need you to move forward. In Numbers chapter 32 and verse number 23, it says, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out. You realize you choosing not to go across, you choosing not to fight with us, you choosing not to participate with us, you know what the Bible says that is? You've sinned against the Lord. I want to encourage you, church, move forward. Help the younger generation move forward. And then the third thing we'll look at here is in Joshua chapter 4, in verses number 4 through 7. We got some really interesting things here. This is when Joshua, grown up, he's the leader now. We already read that in Joshua chapter 1. And the children of Israel are right back in the same spot that they were 40 years prior. And Joshua came through and he said, okay, get ready, because in 4 days we're moving out. Get ready, because we're fixing to head across Jordan. Can I tell you something, Faith Independent Baptist Church? Get ready. Because this year, we're crossing Jordan. We're crossing Jordan. For the last almost 2 years, we've had some really great times. We've had cottage prayer meetings, and we're going to have some more. We've had fellowships, and we're going to have some more. We've had revival services and missions conferences, and we're going to have some more. But you know, there's something else for us to conquer. There's something else for us to do. We need to cross across the Jordan. We need to bring young people and young families into the church. And we've got to stop talking about it, and we've got to start doing it. We've got to go from inactivity to activity. But you know, we got a river in front of us called the Jordan. You know, the amazing thing. Joshua told the children of Israel, he said, get ready because in 4 days we're going. The Lord spoke to Joshua and told Joshua, he said, choose you out 12 men from every tribe. One man from every tribe. You know what that tells me? Everybody was included. Even the 2.5 tribes that were staying, they had to come up with a representative to represent them for a job that they were going to be given. You know what we need? We need a representative from every single home of Faith Independent Baptist Church. Every single home that's represented here. We need a person that's going to stand up and say, okay, God, I'm representing my family, and what is it you want me to do? You see, the job for these 12 people, or these 12 men, the Bible says the job, it was 12 men, 12 tribes, that means everybody. It was 12 men, leaders from every family, 12 stones, testimony from all. You know what the job of these men were? The job of these men were to go and pass before the ark of the Lord. You know what the job of these 12 men were? First of all, they had to go past before the ark of the Lord. They needed to get things right. They needed to make sure that their hearts were right. You know what we need in our church? We need families that are right before God. We need men that are willing to stand up and ladies that are willing to stand up and deal with things that need to be dealt with correctly and get it right. And see, these 12 men, the first thing they were to do is they were to pass before the ark of the Lord. Then, after they passed before the ark of the Lord, the Bible says that they were to go into the midst of the Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Not only do you need to get right, you need to get in. Too many of us, folks, are sitting on the sideline. Too many are looking at that need to get in. And what was the responsibility of these men? They were to get in the Jordan River. You know what they were doing? They were going before the people. The priest had just stepped in carrying the ark. They had stepped in, and the Bible said that when their feet stepped in, then the water would part. And they were to go, and they were to stand there in the midst. And it was the responsibility of the 12 to go before the ark of the Lord, get things right, and the only way that they could get it right was to get in. You see, they had to go into the midst of the Jordan River. You know, they had to be the first ones to face that wall of water that was building and building and building and building. But they were also walking on dry land. The other job that they were given, not only to get in, but they were to choose 12 stones. And the Bible says they were to get those stones and they were to bear them on their shoulder. There's a responsibility of bearing the burden. And they were to take those stones over on the to have them over on the other side of the Jordan. And they were placed there on the other side of the Jordan, where, as the Bible says, where they dwelt, for a testimony and a memorial of the victory that God just brought them through. You see, 40 years prior, it was a defeat. 40 years prior, it was a disaster. 40 years prior, it cost a lot of people their lives and cheated them out of getting what God intended for them. This was a monumental victory. And what we need is we need 12 that are chosen, that are willing to get right, that are willing to get in, willing to bear the burden, so that we can have a testimony on the other side. You know what will be exciting next year at this time? Is to be able to talk about the wonderful things that God has accomplished in 2022. God has some great things for us to do. God has a place that He wants us to go. But if we're not careful, folks, what we're going to do is we're going to allow silly things to keep us from moving ahead. We're going to allow something as simple as the honeymoon being over to stall the whole thing. What do we do when the honeymoon's over? That's when we start working and we commit to the relationship. You know how we're going to get to the other side, Jordan? Each and every one of us joining hands, committing to God, and committing to the work of God, and getting the work of God done. And through the Word of God, you know what that's going to do for us, folks? That's going to unite us. We all know. I thank the Lord for the wife that He's given me. You know, when I married her April the 2nd, 1988, I only thought I loved her. You know what I know now? I love her. She's my best friend. She's my companion. She's the one that lifts me up when I'm down. She's the one that I can count on no matter what. You know what brought us to that point in our relationship? The commitment that we made to God and the commitment we made to each other, and no matter what crossed our path, we were committed to God and we were committed to each other. We're going to face some battles this year. We're going to face some difficult times. But if we'll stay committed to God and we'll stay committed to each other, next year at this time, Faith Independent Baptist Church will be a different place. Be a better place. It'll be in a better place. What do we do when the honeymoon's over? We commit to the relationship. And what I'm asking you, folks, is to commit to the relationship. You say, well, preacher, it's happened before where the leader didn't do right. I'll be honest with you. Well, there's going to be times, has been, will be, there'll be times where I may not quite hit the mark. But ask yourself this question. What I present to you, what I ask you to follow me in, is it sin? Is it against the Bible? Or am I asking you to do something wrong? You say, well, I don't know that I like that particular activity. Is it sin? Is it against the Bible? Am I asking you to do anything wrong? And depending on what those answers are, is what you should do. And I'm going to do my best this year, folks, to lead you through the Word of God. To present things to the church that we need to do that God has laid upon our hearts. And what we need in order to make it work is commitment. Commitment to the relationship of moving forward. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I love your people. I can't think of one of our folks in our church, whether member or non-member, that I could say that I don't like or I don't love. And Father, I pray that you would help us this year, Lord, to be committed to you, to be committed to your will, to be committed to the direction that you'll have for our church. Lord, I pray that we as individuals would be willing to pay whatever sacrifice. Lord, help us not to focus on the walls and the gates and the strength of the people that we'll come up against. But Lord, help us to focus on past victories and the provision that we'll see along the way. And now, Lord, I pray that you'd move in our church. Lord, I pray that you'd move amongst our people. And Lord, I pray that we'd have 12 that would stand up, 12 that would get right, 12 that would get in, and 12 that would bear the load so that we can have a memorial and a testimony. And Lord, I pray for your will to be done. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.